Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It's 6:30, so we will begin. We will continue on through, kind of almost chronologically, you know. 4 weeks ago, I think, we were at the triumphal entry, and then the next week, the resurrection, and then we had the ascension, and last week we had the upper room meeting, and then moving on into Pentecost. And so today we're going to be talking about the coming of the Holy Spirit. And so that is quite a remarkable time, the day of Pentecost. And it just wasn't one day that began the time, which still goes through today, that every believer is filled with the Holy Spirit. So it's an amazing, amazing thing. So let's just sing this little song to begin here. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Melt me, mold me, fill me, use me. Spirit of the living God. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Melt me, mold me, fill me, use me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Well, Father, we thank you for meeting us here already this morning, and Lord, we just want to have our hearts open to what you've done for us by sending your Holy Spirit to us to empower us and to strengthen us and to be with us continually. And so guide us as we look at a passage here in the book of Acts and then into prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, last week they were all gathered in one accord in the upper room. And so we shift right now on into today's study, and we see that the Holy Spirit fell on all of them. And so we have such a beautiful, beautiful thing here when we look at what the Lord has done. And so I just wanted to read this passage which follows where we were last week in the book of Acts, which you know very well. It's the chapter 2. We'll look at the first 13 verses today. And then next week, we'll begin on Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost. And we'll see there that his sermon began at 9 in the morning. So all of this that we're talking about today actually happened earlier in the morning. And because it's all done by 9 o'clock, as we would find out from next week's study, so to speak. And we know this was a feast day, and so they call it Shavuot, and so the day of Pentecost, 50 days after the resurrection, really, it's the Sabbath day before our resurrection day, plus 7 weeks plus one day. That's how you get to 50, 49 days plus one day. So this is exactly, precisely 50 days after the resurrection. And so we had 40 days. Jesus was here on earth last week, remember, and we had an ascension time, well, actually 2 weeks ago. So he's there 40 days after he rose from the dead, and now we have a 10-day gap, roughly, and then we have Pentecost. Now, they had been celebrating Pentecost. It was one of the three mandatory feasts. You know, they had seven feasts, and the three that you had to attend if you were able in Israel was Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles. Now, Pentecost was the biggest attended feast. And the primary reason for that was climate. It was too hard to travel for Passover. And then Tabernacles is too hot. So the attendance was the big one on Pentecost. So this is the big day. This is the day when Jerusalem would probably swell to well over a million people, maybe a couple of million people, which was huge in those days because there weren't any big population things in those days because there weren't that many people. So we have them gathering now. And so, you know, if God is going to get a message out, what does he do? He brings everybody together so he can give them this message. So think now, who all is going to be affected by this appearing of the Holy Spirit, as we will read about. It's got three continents we know of, even by name, so Africa, Asia, and Europe will all have people there at this time. Actually, we have about 17 nations that we will see named here. So, reading in from the book of Acts, chapter 2, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, or had arrived in full, they were all with one accord in one place. And I really believe that's just picking it up from verse 14 in chapter 1, where it said, they all with one accord. Here it again, they are all with one accord. So I think it's this is the 120 people here. Now, there's going to be a lot of other people who hear this, and they'll come gather. So we're not just giving this out to 120. But I think this in the beginning here, now remember, this is early in the morning. And by the way, on this feast day and other feast days, they never would have wine with breakfast. They would have wine with their other meals, but never with breakfast. So the charge here later is going to be they were all drunk, and Peter will say, you know, it's early in the morning. So, but you know, when you're overcome with the Spirit, your life is changed, right? So when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a wind? No. Doesn't say anything about wind at all, other than it sounds like it. So if your question is, do you think the 120, the robes of 120 were blowing in the wind, I would say it doesn't, no reason to believe there'd be any wind. Because it says what came from? Sound. A sound came. And it's a sound from heaven. Now, I'm old and I don't like noise, right? But I'm changing my mind just a little bit as I read the scriptures, because we're going to have a lot of noise when we get to heaven. Very, very loud. Thundering, earthquakes, lightning, we read in the book of Revelation. We read in Psalm 29, I think it is, where the voice of the Lord breaks rocks, it splits cedar trees. So when you say, Lord, I wish you'd speak to me, I can't hear you. Praise God he doesn't, because you wouldn't have any eardrums. But I think when we have our glorified body, we'll be able to withstand the loudness, and it's joyful. So suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing, mighty wind. Now, the sound was of a wind. Now, we have these as's in here. Think of likes. This is not a rushing wind, but it sounds like a rushing wind. And it filled the whole house where they were sitting, this sound. Then there appeared to them, now this is a sign now that's coming, there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire. Again, it's not fire, but it's like fire. Its appearance is fire. And one set upon the spiritual ones, right? No, one set on each of them. Each of them. Everybody in this room that's a believer is filled with the Spirit. Now, you may not be paying attention to the Spirit, and you may not be living like you're filled with the Spirit, but you actually are filled with the Spirit. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began, here's a sign, to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, this is not the typical Spirit today. Most frequently today, it's an unknown tongue. But these are dialects. These are known. These are not unknown tongues. They're understood by 17 different people groups here, as we will see. And the interesting thing, they were all from Galilee. Now, if you're from Galilee, I guess it would be like being from Alabama or Mississippi here, really a southern drawl, you know, and yet they're speaking in all of these other languages. It's coming out, and they were saying, how can these Galileans speak my language? So this is a great miracle here, really, supernatural miracle. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. So this is where the 1-2 million people have come for the Pentecost feast. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together. So they heard this sound, so they all came together and were confused, because everyone heard them speak in his own language. They were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, Look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? Amazing. Parthians, Medes, Elamites, Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, Libya, Cyrene, Rome, Jews, and proselytes. So I think if you count those, they're probably around 17 or so, depending on how you want to count them. But anyway, a lot of different places where they heard their own language, all from these people who were from Galilee. Now, you could probably figure almost all these are Jews, because in the early church it was all Jews. I think the 120 probably were all Jewish. You might have had a proselyte in there or so, but not very many, I don't imagine, at any rate. Both Jews and proselytes, so there were some proselytes there, we read. Cretans and Arabs, we hear them speaking in our own tongues and the wonderful works of God. So what were they speaking? The wonderful works of God. So what about your tongue? How much is your tongue being used to speak of the wonderful works of God? I guess you all have a tongue, don't you? Don't we all have a tongue? Verse 12, so they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, whatever could this mean? And so this whole situation is being set up for Peter's sermon, which we'll get to next week. We'll start into it next week. Verse 13, others mockingly said, oh, they're filled with new wine. They're drunk. So that's the way the mockers would look at it. Notice, no matter how good things are, there's always mockers. So you might say, you know, we have so many more mockers today than we've ever had before. Maybe. I doubt that's true. We've always had mockers. Now, we've got different methods of getting the mocking out than we have had. But we've always had resistance, always will have resistance. And we know the Bible says it's going to get worse, it's not going to get less. So praise God every day for the freedom that you do have. There's nothing like today that I can think of that really would prohibit any of us from proclaiming the wonderful works of God all day long to whoever the Lord puts in front of us or whoever we choose to see with his help, right? So we'll pick that up again next week in Peter's sermon, which you also know. But read ahead and read that sermon all the way through to the end of chapter 2. It's 47 verses. We went through the first 13 today. So we'll probably take that sermon in three separate Saturdays, I imagine. Well, Father, we thank you for this magnificent, magnificent gift. And Lord, we know how the Spirit-filled life. We know the characteristics describing that fruit of the Spirit, which is love. And we know that we should see those characteristics in our lives, Lord. And how visible are they? How are we living our life? Are we really living it led by the Spirit? Or are we still kind of stuck, part of us, in the old way, living it the old man with I've got to make my own decisions, and I've got to buck up and do this, and I've got to try harder and all this. That's just almost from the pit of hell, because we try harder without him. We'll always fail. We won't succeed. So help us to be Spirit-filled, Spirit-led in praising you and in honoring you continually. Lead us now as we have the opportunity to pray, because we even are led now by the Holy Spirit in our prayers like never before, it seems, since the day of Pentecost especially. So may we be totally united, because we are led by one Spirit. Guide us now and teach us to pray in Jesus' name. Father, I just want to read several verses here. It's for us, it's not for them, it's for us. I say then, Galatians 5:16, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Well, Lord, it can't get any clearer than that. And we don't need more people telling us those things necessarily. We have you telling us that. May we do it. May I do it. Help us to remember we are not our own. We've been bought with a price. We should not have any unfulfilled personal expectations. We should just want to see your will done in our lives, Lord. So help us, help me, Lord, and each one here to be a light and a salt today, if you give us today, and if you give us tomorrow, again tomorrow. We have a very limited number of days. It's not that, well, I'll put that off till next year, forget it, or next month, forget it. And Lord, we do want to see the youth, and I more mindful now than maybe earlier of the great pull of social media on the youth and these devices that all of the kids have, which is terrible, so sinful. So our youths are way behind where they should be in the ability to do anything of you. So given over to their devices, Lord, and it could be for good, but it's not being used for good. So, Lord, we come against that. We come against those forces which are drawing the youth away from you, those forces which are drawing adults away from you, those forces which are shaping consensuses and opinions that it's fine to hate the Jews and it's fine to hate the Christians and they're to be hated anyway, so to speak. So, Lord, help us. We've got the word of truth. You've given us that. May we use it. May we be impacted by your Spirit even as we think of what happened 1994 years ago or whenever it was, something like that, 2,000 years ago roughly. We will have greater and greater deception. Things will get worse and worse. They're not going to get better, your word says. Things are never going to be as good as they are today for us to proclaim the gospel, I believe, in some respects. We have the freedom right now. We have the good news. We have no trouble finding people who don't know about you. They're all around everywhere. So I thank you for this group here this morning, and just thank you that we can meet and we can pray, and we really certainly are, when we preach to each other, we're certainly preaching to the choir here because we're all in the same place. But I thank you for that. So Lord, I just want to close this in singing this little song, Rule Over My Soul. Rule over my soul, sweet spirit. Rule over my soul. My rest is complete as I sit at your feet. Sweet spirit, rule over my soul. So let's close in singing that. Rule over my soul, rule over my soul. Sweet spirit, rule over my soul. My rest is complete as I sit at your feet. Sweet Spirit, rule over my soul. One more time. Rule over my soul, rule over my soul. Sweet Spirit, rule over my soul. My rest is complete as I sit at your feet. Sweet Spirit, rule over my soul. And we all say, Amen. Thank you for being here this morning. God bless you. Be filled with the Spirit.